Do you remember back last September when the news was full of stories about the raging West Coast wildfires that spread across 12 states and sent thick smoke across the country, reaching into Canada? Both Vancouver and Portland were neck and neck in having the worst air quality in the world. We were dealing with that just as this Schwinn, Trissina, was coming in, almost gasping for breath sometimes with the air so full of smoke, at the same time as so many others were gasping for breath due to the rapid spread of the coronavirus. It was a difficult start to this Schwinn, Trissina, and people were searching for ways to rebuild after many devastating losses. In some cases, whole towns had been destroyed by the fires and people had to begin again. I'll speak about how this kind of readjustment ties in with this time frame after I welcome you to episode 32 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin, working at this time with the Schwinn, or monkey, Trissina, one of the 20 13-day periods that work together to form the Maya 260-day count of days that is the core of their traditional calendrical system, with each of those 260 days being unique, a combination of a solar force plus a numerical power, and each group of 13 days having a particular set of characteristics oriented around a central idea. Each group of 13 days is called a Trissina, and the one we're working in with right now, the Schwinn Trissina, is one of those points within the 260-day cycle that is aligned with rebuilding. Often we see some quite shocking things happen during the Trissina that precedes this one. That was the Etznab Trissina. And that time zone that we've just been through was no exception. It began with a rare superflower blood moon eclipse, at the same time as Earth was feeling the effects of a geomagnetic storm, and a major cyclone was bombarding Odisha and West Bengal in India. While this was happening, there was some kind of a cyber attack against some 150 U.S. government agencies, at the same time as Republicans in the U.S. Senate were trying to pretend that the January 6th insurrection didn't happen, blocking the creation of a bipartisan commission to investigate. I spoke about this in the last podcast. That was the day when the news came out that in Kamloops, BC, the remains of 215 children had been found on the grounds of a former government-run Indian residential school, one of those horrific places where First Nations children were incarcerated and suffered extreme abuses just for being Indigenous. While it was not news that such places existed, and I think I underestimated the length of time a bit in the last podcast, because the dates do vary from place to place, but overall it was over 120 years. It was, for the most part, one of those things that had really stayed in the shadows, one of those hidden historical horrors that people have tried to ignore or sweep under the carpet. But now, with the discovery of these remains, that whole era and its legacy was suddenly, shockingly brought out into the open for everyone to see. The shame and the horror of a government and religion-sanctioned system that had tried to eradicate everything related to the culture and identities and heritage of thousands of young children, killing untold hundreds in the process. As noted last time, this information about that discovery came out near the end of May on a Three Ahau Day, an energy that can translate as the activation of enlightenment, an important burner day oriented around the idea of announcing the fire. So this was Ahau's full sun illuminating things that previously may have been hidden, announcing a new direction. During this Xuan Trisina, the second Ahau day in this Ahau burner series will be coming in. So I'll discuss that in a few minutes. As I previously mentioned, there are 20 days between each of four burner stations. So this next one coming in will be 20 days after those shocking three Ahau events. Shortly after that three Ahau day came an event in the U.S. that shed considerable light on a tragedy that had also been overlooked for 100 years. The massacre that took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when all hell broke loose and some 35 blocks of the Tulsa's thriving Greenwood district were destroyed when white residents looted and burned to the ground what was then known as Black Wall Street, along with the surrounding area. When President Biden visited Tulsa, he became the first president to go there and acknowledge the truth that over 1,100 buildings were lost and some 10,000 people were left destitute because of that horrific event. In Tulsa, just like in Kamloops, bodies are being exhumed as part of the investigations. As he marked the 100th anniversary of the massacre, President Biden declared that he had come to fill the silence about one of that nation's darkest and long suppressed moments of racial violence. As he put it, quote, "For much too long, the history of what took place was told in silence, cloaked in darkness. But just because history is silent, it doesn't mean that it did not take place. And while darkness can hide much, it erases nothing. It erases nothing. Some injustices are so heinous, so horrific, so grievous, they cannot be buried no matter how hard people try. Only with truth can come healing and justice and repair. Only with truth," unquote. And of course, this is just the tip of the iceberg, since these are just two of so many similar situations that have unfolded in the past all over the world. Two indigenous cultures that were subjected to the brutalities of colonialism and expansionism, and to many others. And not just in the past, it's still going on. Look at Myanmar. Whenever one group of people thinks they're superior to another, or even when one boorish, unscrupulous, dictatorial person thinks he's immune to punishment even after committing heinous crimes at the highest levels of government, very dark and dangerous things can happen. Even to the extent that whole cultures can get eradicated, as almost happened with the Maya. I use the word almost because the Maya themselves were not eradicated, despite everything they suffered after the Spanish descended on them 500 years ago. There are still about 6 million Maya in the world today, primarily living in countries such as Guatemala, Central and Southern Mexico, Costa Rica, and other Central American regions. But their exquisite calendar was almost obliterated, and much of their art and the high culture of the classic era was lost to the conquest or forgotten and hidden deep in the jungles until about the mid-19th century. But that's another story that will have to wait. Once artifacts began to be found and researched, the workings of the calendar were gradually pieced back together, along with significant aspects of the culture, such as language and stories. And that work continues. Even the 260-day calendar includes storylines, such as the one we're working with right now, the creation sequence within this Xuan Tresina. This was the time frame, the sequence of days, when it was said that the world itself was brought into being. And it often happens that it is within the context of this Tresina that new directions for action begin to be taken. Even today, as Joe Biden begins his work with his allies in Europe, he said that, quote, "We are at an inflection point in history," unquote. And that is so true. Something often shifts at the beginning of this Tresina, often triggered by events in the past, and particularly the previous Tresina, that necessitates the development of new paths. So this can often be a time when it becomes necessary to rethink things, to make adjustments and regroup, and perhaps even rebuild something, perhaps in newer, more viable forms. As it happened, it was this Tresina that was the first full Tresina of 2020, which does give one pause, since that was when we first started hearing about the coronavirus. That was when France confirmed Europe's first case on the third day of this Tresina. 2 days later, the new virus was identified in China, but officials said that it didn't seem to be transmissible. But just one day after that, doctors in Wuhan were starting to panic because they could see it was already out of control, as Wuhan Central Hospital's respiratory department was already full by that time. By the middle of the Tresina, China announced the first death from COVID-19. And shortly thereafter, the World Health Organization reported a case in Thailand, the first outside of China. But even though the world was on edge after these first alerts were issued, researchers were on it. And reliable tests to check for the coronavirus were being developed in several different countries, so new pathways were already being forged. Unfortunately, as we all know, these early indicators quickly expanded and before too long became a pandemic, so that by the time we got through one full cycle of 260 days, taking us to late September of last year, the global number of deaths had reached over 1 million by the midpoint of this dracaena. But many news outlets were reporting that this was likely very much of an underestimate. By the end of this dracaena, at that time, the global number of cases had reached over 35 million, with over 7.5 million of those being in the U.S. Fast forward one more cycle to the start of this dracaena at this time, and we see that the global number of cases has zoomed up to nearly 175 million, with over 32 million in the U.S. By this time, over 10% of the U.S. population has had it. But the good news was that the vaccination programs that were now in place were working so effectively that the overall death rate in that country had dropped significantly by that time, thanks to President Biden's dedicated call for everyone to get out there and get vaccinated. At this point, over 42% of the U.S. population has now been fully vaccinated, and Joe is pushing to bring that up to 70% by July 4th. The program has been so successful that the U.S. has just reached an agreement with Pfizer to buy 500 million doses of their vaccine to distribute to nearly 100 countries around the world, a centerpiece of Joe Biden's initiative to help vaccinate the world. He's expected to announce that formally in the UK on Thursday, Maya Day 3 Ben, which I'll get to in a moment, since this is a big deal day within this time frame. Apparently, the US will pay for the vaccines at cost. So let's have a look at these energies. In Maya mythology, this time frame was all about the creation of the Winnal, the 20 days that are a key factor within the overall cycle. There are 13 Winnals within a 260-day cycle. That's not the same as a dracaena. There are 20 dracaenas, or 20 13-day periods, and 13 Winnals, or 20-day periods, within a 260-day cycle. I know, it's a bit confusing because they both factor into this sequence. As we go through this Xuan dracaena, we will be following the storyline of the first 13 days of the creation sequence in the Winnal. So some of that sequence will spill over into the following dracaena. So to the energies involved, the first day is known as Wan Xuan, or Wan Monkey. Think of this as a day governed by a playful, inventive, agile, and capricious monkey deity who sits at the center of the tree of life and gets to decide how he's going to weave together the threads of creation as he orchestrates the proliferation of life. The Dzogchen, the 260-day cycle, was sometimes seen as a tree of life, and all the days are part of it, as are we. And Wan Xuan often marked important new beginnings or turning points, including such things as the coronation of Queen Victoria in 1838 and the official end of the U.S. Civil War in 1866. In 1914, the Women's Peace Parade, a huge anti-war parade, took place in New York under this influence, just after the start of World War I, with most women wearing all white or all black. This time, this energy coincided with World Oceans Day, drawing attention to the importance of the oceans and the need to protect them, especially from plastics and pollutants. This is followed by Tu Ebb, which was seen mythologically as the day when the first stairway was created that descended from the heavens. And this is when we are now hearing about that U.S. plan to distribute coronavirus vaccines to nearly 100 countries. And for tangible evidence of that stairway idea descending from the heavens, I just heard that a large waterspout was seen on this day not too far from where I live, with a warning going out to boats to be cautious. You never know exactly how these energies will manifest. The third day, 3 Ben, was seen as one of the days in the creation sequence when various things in the heavens, the seas, and the earth were made. Now, because of what's happening at this time, I want to change course for a moment and speak about an important historical record left hundreds of years ago by the Maya in Quirigua, one of their very important classic era cities. That's the location of some of the most astonishing monuments ever created. Gorgeous sculptures and stelae covered with hieroglyphs that speak of deities and dynasties and long cycles of time. And in that location can be found lengthy hieroglyphic texts carved in stone that tell the Maya creation story. They tell us that time itself began with the planting of 3 stones in the heavens by 3 deities. The hieroglyphic panel identifies Itzamna, the great Lord of the Milky Way, the water sorcerer who was seen as the Lord of the heavens and of day and night, an aspect of the creator of the universe, as being the deity who planted a stone in the heavens called the Jaguar Throne. 2 other stones, called Snake Throne and Water Throne, were planted by the deities known as Jaguar Paddler and Stingray Spine Paddler. The text tells us that Itzamna tied the stones together at the completion of the last great cycle, and that a new cycle was beginning at this new first 3 stones place, way back in 3114 BC. So why am I telling you this at this time? Well, I must give some credit to my friend Gary Caton, who you can find at dreamastrologer.com, who told me some time ago about Kazimis, when Mercury transits in the heart of the Sun during a Sun-Mercury conjunction. He gave me some dates to keep in mind because this kind of conjunction was getting closer and closer to the area in the Orion constellation that was thought to be the first 3 stones place of Maya mythology. And that alignment is coming up now on this 3rd day of this Trisena. The fact that this is happening on this 3rd day of this creation-oriented Trisena is particularly intriguing, And I'll direct your attention to my My Account of Days horoscope blog at whitepuppress.ca or mayacalendararts.com, where I've included some visuals of the exact location in Orion. This third day, known as Theriban in the calendar, could be seen mythologically as wind, breath, and spirit, associated with the number three, in combination with the tree of life, associated with the Ben day sign. So, mythologically, this would be like the breath of life activating the tree of life, very significant to the creation sequence. And with the Zolkin, the 260-day count of days being seen as representing the tree of life, this could be seen as a calendar activation energy as well. This could also translate as the activation of self-determination or personal authority. So at this time, the activating energy of Theriban will be in place on June 10th at the same time as Mercury and the Sun are coming into this rare alignment with the three hearthstone place, the cosmic place of origin from Maya mythology. In Maya legend, this is where the gods used lightning to start a new fire, a new 5,125-year creation cycle, which would have been the start of the great cycle of time that came to an end on December 21st, 2012. It's intriguing to see that even within the context of modern astronomy, this Orion Nebula location, associated with the mythological three hearthstones, has come to be seen as a kind of stellar nursery, where vast numbers of new stars and solar systems are being forged from enormous clouds of gas and dust. You have to ask, what did the ancient Maya astronomers know? And how did they get their information? Now, in addition to this amazing alignment coming into place on Theriban, this activation of the tree of life energy, this activation of personal authority, we also see that there is a new moon annular solar eclipse happening, which is being referred to as a ring of fire, with the moon blocking the sun so that the sun appears as a ring around the moon, which seems uncannily like a hearthstone image as well. So here we are now, almost 9 years into the next great cycle of time, after the last one finished on December 21st, 2012, with the world in crises on so many levels. And now we have all these events all happening at once. It just seems interesting. In addition, this is Ascension Day in Eastern Christianity, a feast day in the Greek Orthodox Church, commemorating the ascension into heaven of Jesus. And on another note, this is the day when Prince Philip, had he lived a few weeks longer, would have celebrated his 100th birthday, after serving as the longest-running royal consort in history. Notice well that this was the energy in place at the time of the first inauguration of Franklin D. Roosevelt as the 32nd U.S. president. At that time, he uttered the immortal words, quote, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance, unquote. Continuing on with the sequence of days, we see that the 47th G7 summit is beginning on June 11th, a 4-ish day, which is the sun working with the earth-oriented, earth-magic energy of Ish, symbolized by the jaguar, often aligned with the idea of transformation. By the time we get to 6 Keeb on June 13th, that would be associated with the time in mythology when the first light was made, referred to as the first candle, when there was neither sun nor moon. That would be the last day of this important summit. And I think it's also intriguing that this was the energy in place 3 cycles ago when Joe Biden announced his candidacy for the presidency, especially since this energy is often associated with the restoration of order. This is the day when Joe and Jill will get to meet with Queen Elizabeth at Windsor Castle. Apparently, this is the day when Israel's parliament will be voting to form a new government, ending Prime Minister Netanyahu's 12-year rule, even though Netanyahu is now attempting to follow in the dumpster's footsteps, or ripping a page from the dumpster's playbook, as I think Rachel Maddow mentioned the other day, as he tries to deny that he's losing his grip on power, has even been attempting to incite an insurrection in Israel, in the same way as happened on January 6th in the U.S. The following day is 7 Kaban, self-generating movement, which is often accompanied by a great deal of earth-oriented action and movement. We'll see how all that plays out. I should point out as well that 9 Kawak in place on the 16th is often quite tempestuous and the kind of energy that can have long-lasting influence. The last time this was in place was when that awful presidential debate took place where the dumpster did nothing but lie, interrupt, and maliciously attack, to the point where they almost canceled the second debate. Currently, this is when President Biden will be meeting with President Putin in Geneva. So let's send Joe much, much good energy at that time to keep him protected. And then we come to Tan Hao, that next burner day that I mentioned earlier. This is a day that I spoke about in some detail in episode 14 last September, because it does seem to have a kind of mythic quality to it on this 10th day of the creation sequence. The ancient notation related to what happened on this day is very cryptic, as it refers to evil men going to the underworld. The line related to that has been translated as because of the Father, God the Father, but it's unclear what was actually meant by that, as all we have is a colonial era translation for this in the creation sequence. But in terms of the working of the calendar, this day was traditionally oriented around the idea of taking the fire in conjunction with Ahau's full sun energy. It tends to be aligned with the idea of accepting or taking on a task or a challenge, particularly a challenge that may have presented itself 20 days earlier. And as I discussed, 20 days earlier was when we were enlightened about those horrific racial issues as to do with the residential schools. I should also mention once again about the article that's posted on my mayacalendararts.com site titled Revisiting Ten Ahau, relating to the dramatic rescue of 33 Chilean miners on a Ten Ahau day in 2010 after they had been trapped 700 meters underground in a copper-gold mine for 69 days. It was an incredibly nail-biting situation that held the world's attention for over 2 months, and it culminated in that extraordinary retrieval on October 13th of that year on Ten Ahau. That was the event that I spoke about in episode 14. The numbers associated with this were quite amazing. So this is a kind of foundational enlightenment type of energy, quite intense and action-oriented. The last time this was in place, it was getting quite close to the 2020 U.S. election. It's also noteworthy that apparently in 1917, the Virgin Mary's third secret was revealed on a Ten Ahau day at Fatima, which apparently had to do with Russia and its deceptions and the grave implications of totalitarianism. Much of what has been at the forefront of everything that's happened over the past few years. So it will be interesting to see how Biden's meeting goes on the day before this. In alignment with this, it was a Ten Ahau day three cycles ago, which was April 2019, that prompted Joe Biden to kick off his 2020 campaign because he couldn't stand watching the hypocrisy play out any longer, and so he decided to throw his hat in the ring and do something about it. Two cycles ago, in January of 2020, the energy of Ten Ahau brought the resignation of the entire Russian government after Putin proposed a series of amendments to Russia's constitution that would have considerably extended his hold on power. I don't know what happened in that regard. Perhaps the need to address the pandemic, but of course he's still there. That, by the way, was the day when it was reported that a mysterious burst of gravitational waves or distortions in space-time hit our planet. According to scientists, it only lasted for 14 milliseconds, but it baffled astronomers since they have been unable to find the source or cause of this. A staff writer for Live Science said that this mysterious cosmic event, picked up by the laser-based technology of LIGO, may have, quote, ever so slightly stretched and squeezed our planet, unquote. Although there's speculation that the gravitational waves could have been created by the collision of massive objects, such as black holes or neutron stars, they don't seem to know for sure. But it did happen on Ten Ahau, and that was about the time the pandemic took off and started really spreading. Did we get zapped somehow? Who knows? The last thing I want to do is start some kind of a conspiracy theory, but it's one more intriguing thing related to Ten Ahau. As always, the last few days of this Trisena can be quite intense, and we have the summer solstice and Father's Day coming up on the last day of this time frame. So check out the notations in my Maya Count of Days horoscope blog at whitepuppress.ca for further information on these days and, of course, all the others. As always, please contact me directly if you'd like some assistance in terms of exploring how these kinds of energies may work within your own lives. There are a number of options outlined on my websites. As you've seen through this podcast and blog, I often provide examples of how these energies tie in with events and work in other people's lives, but until you actually start working with them personally, much will be missed. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites as well as information on subscribing to the horoscope blog. Okay, I'm going to finish up this time by taking you back a bit in time. Not as far back as the lighting of that cosmic new fire in 3114 BC. We've already been there. But back to the 1960s, to the era that was so strongly influenced by the legendary fashion designer Pierre Cardin, who just so happened to be born on a 10 Ahau day in 1922. He made his transition back to the place of origin last year at the age of 98. Vogue called Pierre one of the last men standing from the golden age of couture. But it was not couture that he was known for. It was the space age style of clothing that he designed in the 1960s that really got people's attention. Clothing for both women and men that was sculptural and even minimal, with clean, uncluttered lines, often inspired by architecture and technology. Some of it went to the point of even being called unisex. In many ways, he was at the forefront of what came to be known as the swinging 60s. Think of the Beatles in their early days, dressed in Pierre Cardin suits with collarless jackets. Think of A-line dresses and patent leather go-go boots. It's that style of clothing that people were wearing in those days. That's what people remember from an era that was dramatically different from the world of the 1940s and 50s, which was much more formal, and also vastly different from the world we live in today. And even beyond the clothing, where he seemed to style a whole generation, he was particularly well known for his business acumen and for the way he extended his design ideas into hundreds of other things, from clothing accessories, belts, handbags, sunglasses, leather goods, to cosmetics, fragrances, furniture, and other everyday items such as pens, cigarettes, frying pans, alarm clocks, and even cassette tapes, and even foodstuffs such as caviar and chocolates, all sold through some 800 licensees in more than 140 countries on 5 continents. His unofficial title as the Napoleon of licensors was due to the huge stream of income that he generated from his enormous network of licensees. He once said that even though he was born an artiste, he recognized that he was particularly skilled as a businessman. It was as if he could endlessly channel all that creative energy that flowed through this Tresina, the Tresina of his birth, into the production of anything he wanted, seemingly endlessly. In many ways, Pierre Cardin seemed to embody the dream of abundance, even the dream of democracy. If you can think it, you can build it. Anything you want, you can have it. His birth energy of 10 Ahau, foundational sun, was that burner day associated with taking the fire. Basically accepting whatever it was that was given to him, his talents and inherent abilities, and really making the best of it, building a foundation for what was to become a huge business empire. All that swinging 60s stuff seems far removed from where we are now, stuck in our homes, hidden behind masks, not sure when the pandemic will really end, and not sure what the world will look like when it really is declared to be over. But this is a good time to start thinking about what next, while these strong creation forces are in play. A great time to start thinking about how we can all contribute to a better world, a more just and humane world, a more tolerant world, a kinder, more inclusive world on so many levels. This past weekend, on a quiet Sunday evening in London, Ontario, four members of a highly respected Muslim family were killed outright by some crazed person in a pickup truck who deliberately ran into them. The four people killed were a professional couple who are making important contributions to their community, a grandmother and a 15-year-old girl. All were much loved. A 9-year-old boy was also hit, but managed to survive, but is now an orphan, all because of a crazed Islamophobic. Thousands of people are in mourning for them, and rightly so. The 15-year-old girl named Yumna Afzal had painted a mural in her mosque that included the quote, "Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars." I think we all need to hold on to that thought. We all need to lift our heads and shoot for the moon in order to get out of the mess that this planet is in. Time is short and the needs are great. But let's make a start. Now is a great time to do it. Wishing you well. Keep safe. Love to you all.